Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM presents Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
Well, welcome to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. Hope you've had a good day if it's Thursday. Wish you a good day if it's repeat program on Friday. Hope everything's going well with you and your family. Today's pretty special. 60th anniversary of our wedding, August 26, 1966, with Pinky, Eva Luz Pico Garcia. We met, I was 17 years old and she 14. And I still remember, went to the parties we used to have, the dances for teenagers, and saw her walking down stairs towards where we, a terrace kind of area where we were having the party. And I asked her to dance. She didn't know who I was. I didn't know who really she was, other than she was, very attractive and looked very sure of herself. Her first impression was awful of me. She says that I was a bad dancer. I moved. I've been in the States, and I moved Puerto Rico. I didn't know how to dance the Puerto Rican, merengue and plena and all those kinds of things. Little by little, I, modesty aside, become a pretty good dancer. I have rhythm. My Spanish was not all that good, and of course, I'm sure I mixed, English words, Spanglish, with Spanish. One thing that I've always been very grateful for to Pinky was that she always insisted and stopped me if I started throwing in English words when I was speaking Spanish, or just try to speak English. So she always forced me to speak Spanish, and I'm pretty very conscious of if I'm in, to stick to one language. And of course, we're never perfect, and we often go off into the other language. But I try to be very very conscious of sticking to one language and to try to fight to find that word in Spanish or if it's in English, find the word in English for a Spanish word or thought that I have in mind. And we're going to go into a little bit of this thing and the word difference between Spanish and English and do an analysis of compassion and empathy and sympathy, right? But continuing with Pinky, the other thing, she hasn't said this, but I'm pretty sure that I probably came across as, relatively conceited, thinking the tough guy, athlete, scholar, and this all this kind of baloney. she never is get over impressed with people that put on airs. So I'm pretty sure she never said that. But knowing myself at that time, and maybe even today, unfortunately, probably a little bit on the conceited side. She always said that she's always said to people that behind my back as we're dancing, and she'd use the scissors, which a signal for somebody to cut, and it would be to the different people she kept on signaling, which would nod negatively. And when, one was Alberto Pico, her cousin, another one happened to be my brother, Lorenzo, another one was another good friend, Cesar Calderon, and then she went by quiz of different people, and nobody, really cut in, so she had to bear with it. But that was our initial meeting, and, we've now been, some 65 years together. So it's I have to congratulate her for taking care of me and putting up with me and helping me slowly develop into what I am today, and a little bit better than I was, but not as well good as I hoped to be, and of course with a heck of a lot of weaknesses still. So I hope you join me in congratulating Pinky for handling me for 60 years. Okay, so I there was a sermon a week ago or so, and it was on compassion, and it's a this whole area of comparing, you know, empathy and sympathy and pity and sorry and commiserating and condolences and all these different words that are kind of similar have always fascinated me. In fact, going way back, I remember the early 70s going to Singapore, and was that particular trip had related with United Way International. And the United Way of Singapore had a great slogan. It was, "Together we care, together we share." And I fought all these years and still sort of fighting, you know, what's the word that kind of can translate into the word from care to Spanish? And it just doesn't exist. There's different things, and we'll get to, you know, different words, ways of saying it, which comes close, but the I decided, you know, you've been listening the last few weeks, and I got into, you know, ChatGPT and artificial intelligence, and been enjoying it. So I asked, you know, ChatGPT the following. I said, "Please compare and analyze similarities and differences among the following emotions and other similar emotions in response to another sad experience: empathy, sympathy, compassion, pity, commiseration, condolence, feel sorry." And it came back with, you know, an excellent presentation. You know, that these terms overlap, but they describe different ways of respond to another person's suffering, loss, disappointment, or misfortune. The most important distinctions are: do I understand what you are feeling? Do I share some of that feeling? Do I care about your suffering? Do I want to help? Or am I simply expressing sorrow about what happened? So that kind of summarizes the way these different words approach our reaction to an emotion of respect to somebody else's misfortune, something that has happened that's sad for them, and how do we react to it? And so, and then it goes on into columns. Empathy is that, you know, I understand, I feel what you're experiencing. In the world of negotiations, one of the things we try to do is to put ourselves in somebody else's shoes and kind of really understand what they're feeling, what their needs are. Empathy is really critical in dealing in the negotiation world. And in terms of column is emotional closeness, empathy is very high. It does not imply action. Doesn't mean that you're going to do anything about it. And it doesn't have a negative tone. You know, rarely does. The next one is sympathy. Is that there? I feel concern and sorrow for what you were experiencing, but you're not really putting yourself in their shoes. So the emotional closeness is moderate, and it doesn't, again, it doesn't imply any action. And there's also not the, you know, any negative overtones. Then comes in, the next on the list is compassion. And then based on a seminar I went to in neuroscience and the sermon that the priest gave 2 weeks ago, this is the most complete, according to the developments in the neuroscience and the spirituality and in articles that I've been reading. Compassion is that you recognize the rough suffering, you care about it, so there's you know, putting yourself in the person's shoes and feelings there, and you want to alleviate, you want to take action, you're willing to see what you can do to help the person alleviate whatever they're feeling negatively, sadly, whatever. So it's emotional stress is high, implies action, often yes, and this they put this in bold, and possible negative overtones rarely. Then you have the word pity, which is you feel sorrow for someone's unfortunate condition. It kind of a little bit removed, and emotional closeness, it says, usually lower. and there's no implication for action. And possible negative tone says often yes. So the word pity, when you pity someone, there's a an overlapping sense that of negative, that you feel above them and all. Commiseration, which I added my list, is that you join somebody in something that you're sort of feeling or suffering together at the same time. You know, you both had a layoff from a job at a particular company, so you're commiserating with each other. Or you also had a divorce and you're with another divorcee and commiserating, you know, what that implies and entails and all. So the emotional, you know, closeness is moderate. It's high. It's pretty, you know, close. There's no really implication, you know, in terms of action, and there's no really positive negative tone. Then the word condolence, in English, is what you use when you go to a funeral. My condolences, just that word, is sufficient to express your sympathy. And it says here, especially after a death, the emotional closeness is, you know, depends on the tone, depends on, you know, whether you hug, it depends on the relationship, etc. So it can be very relatively distant. It can be very, very close, man, my condolences. And there's no implication, you know, of action, and there's no really negative overtone. And then sorry or feel sorry is an expression of sympathy or pity. You know, it can be have a little bit of a negative overtone. That, again, depending on the tone, depend on the circumstances, the different persons, the relationship between the persons. And so then they added here, ChatGPT, they added concern. Yeah, I care that something bad is happening to you, and I'm worried about you, and express concern about it. And then it ends up with a word that I didn't put in the list, but care, which is the word, as I said, in Singapore, together we care, together we share. And the core meaning is your welfare matters to me. And emotional closeness is potentially high and implies action, yeah, often. And there's no possible tones. And, you know, going back and sort of putting the Spanish to it, for you are bilingual, and I know a lot of you, because I know a lot of you were listening. The empathy, the word empatía, is very close in Spanish. Sympathy, simpatizo, is also very close to sympathy. Compassion, compasión, is, again, very close to the English. Pity. Well, we don't have the word, it's not piedad, no, that's something, but we have, you know, te tengo pena, you know, pena is probably the translation for pity. We don't have the word for commiseration. I can't think of the word in Spanish for commiseration. And we don't have the word for condolence. We usually say te acompaño en tu pena, you know, again, you know, pity, I pity. But pena is a little bit nicer than pity, but my condolences is te acompaño mi pena, is what we say at a funeral when someone has had a death, you know. And you know, feeling sorry or sorry, but triste por, you know, I feel triste por, and then concern and care, which are a little bit together. I think the closest is preocupar, me preocupa, but care goes further than that. And of course, the word care, we have we use the word caregiver now for the person, and we use that in Spanish, cuidador. So depending on the context of which the care is, caregiving, caretaker, you know, somebody who takes care of a particular property. So care can be, but anyway, that and then in the text, I'm not reading all of it, but when it comes to compassion, it says the following. I'm quoting: compassion goes one important step beyond empathy and sympathy. It combines awareness of suffering with care and an impulse to relieve it. Compassion might produce, and then quote, "This must be terribly difficult. What can I do to help?" In that sense, compassion is particularly valuable because it's not merely an emotion. It has a pro-social or action-oriented component. One could almost express it as empathy, caring, desire to help. To help equals, you know, compassion. So that word is now, you know, the word that encapsulates what we really would want to do in terms of somebody else's having the misfortune or having or being depressed or sad, etc. So and it goes on. It goes into more detail on pity, commiseration. It gives a little bit of a thing on all of them, and different settings in which the word would be appropriate, etc. And it ends up with the following. And again, I'm quoting from the response to my prompt, the ChatGPT, and it says, "For responding to a genuinely sad experience, compassion informed by empathy is probably the richest of these concerns. Trying to understand the person's experience without pretending that you fully know what they feel, caring about their suffering, respecting their dignity, and where appropriate, being willing to help." It encapsulates beautifully what we really would normally want to express and convey in these situations. You work through articles. You hear a sermon on the importance of compassion and how it differs from other emotions. You go to neuroscience and you have people, you know, professors and distinguishing compassion from empathy and sympathy and pity. And they all kind of, you know, start kind of recording in your brain, you know, the importance of one emotion, you know, versus the other. There was by coincidence, you know, after I pulled this thing together a few days later, there's an article in the Nuevo Dia on August 22nd, and it's by Piculín, widow, Silvia Rios. Piculín, for those who may be kind of new in Puerto Rico, but is one of our more famous basketball players, both a lot of teams and Puerto Rican teams have done incredibly well, and he played in professionally, and basically the article the title is "Aprendió a quitarse la capa." He learned to take off the cape, basically referring to he considers himself like a Superman. And little by little, as he suffered through illnesses and accepted his vulnerability and his need for help, and that he was not no longer Superman and had to be more humble and expect Hector's waving and request the help of others. We'll go back after this is I have to end this first segment, and we'll go back and discuss this article, which I think is very touching, by Silvia Rios on Piculín's last year and a half or so. This is Jorge Gonzalez Reflections. We'll be right back after the pause.